If you have been mistreated and abused by a major corporation, if you've been abused by a representative like a doctor at the Veterans Administration Hospital, if you or a member of your family has been the victim of elder abuse in a nursing home, if you have been poisoned by Roundup or by asbestos in your talcum powder, if your entire city's water supply been poisoned by chemicals left underground, or if you've got any other kind of gripe or grievance that you feel needs redress in the legal system, call Stephen P. New, newlawoffice.com, 888-692-8084. He's representing people from professional wrestlers to just the little people out there like you and me that need some champion of justice to defend their rights.
When you seek legal counsel, choose Stephen New and his team. They'll work together to achieve the best results for your case and support you every step of the way.
Our clients, why we do what we do, the Law Office of Stephen New.
When you are looking for ways to stand out amongst the competition, custom branded merchandise is a great investment for your brand. If you need custom t-shirts, hoodies, polos, hats, or other items, then you need to call The Merch Man. The Merch Man specializes in custom items for businesses, bands, artists, brands, and more. The Merch Man offers screen print, direct-to-garment, and embroidery for small orders or big bulk orders. We also offer online store setup and a complete fulfillment center with the best profit margin in the industry for qualifying applicants. Call The Merch Man today at 304-362-2131. That's 304-362-2131. Custom merch fast and at its finest.
Welcome to House of Kayfabe with Brian Reznor and Stephen New.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the House of Kayfabe, and I am sitting here with my partner, Stephen P. New. Stephen P. New, we have a guest, and he has never been to the House of Kayfabe before.
That's a crying shame, because we were in close proximity in November. Man needs no introduction as a friend. And now, hopefully, a frequent guest on the House of Kayfabe. And as he is making certain announcements for his big show, we will help him push those announcements out there, Reznor.
That is correct. And without further ado, welcome to the House of Kayfabe, WrestleCade's very own Tracy Myers. How you doing, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm good. Hope you're doing well tonight.
So we've got to pry some announcements out of you or something. Have you announced anybody for WrestleCade yet? Give us the scoop.
Yeah, so look, one of our headliners for this year is a first-time guest. He's rare on the convention circuit because he's been tied up with the folks up north, but it is Paul White, formerly known as Big Show. He's one of our headliners, and he's going to be there Saturday only from 10 until 3.
Well, there he's going to be at WrestleCade. The Big Show will be at WrestleCade this year. Now I'm excited for WrestleCade all over again. Thanks, Tracy.
Man, look, we start planning WrestleCade on January 2nd for our November event every year. And people that have never been, and shoot, people who have been, they just don't know the undertaking that WrestleCade is. It is so, it's just so massive. Is that the right word?
That is definitely a word that I would use.
Yeah, not just the event itself. There's so, like we had talked about before, so many working parts. And at the end of the weekend, it's amazing that everything just seems to come together. But it's because of a great team. I mean, realistically, we have a great team. They're all volunteers, and they love pro wrestling. And that's why you go to WrestleCade, because you love pro wrestling from all generations. And I know a lot of events say that and conventions say that, but, you know, just talking to you guys and talking to the fans, there are folks there that remember watching Jim Crockett Promotions on Saturdays at noon, like I did here in North Carolina, right? And
right,
folks in Tennessee watch Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and folks in Florida watch Florida Championship Wrestling. And now we're so fortunate that we can go on the internet and we can watch all that stuff. So those fans aren't regional anymore, right? All
right.
Those fans have watched all that stuff, and they convene at an event like WrestleCade, and you can see someone like Big Show or Paul White that was just in WWE, and now he's on AEW, or you can see someone like Boris Zukov or Ronnie Garvin, or you can go down the list of the legends, and I don't throw that term around like a lot of folks do. I mean, true legends of the ring. Are at WrestleCade. It's such an amazing event. And at the end of the day, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a business person, and that's you know, that's what I have to be to put something like WrestleCade on, but I'm a wrestling fan at the end of the day. That's why I continue WrestleCade.
Honestly,
Tracy, not only that, if I may, you're talking about the legends, and I love going there and seeing those legends and interacting with Magnum TA. It warmed my heart this past November. Every time I see Magnum, and he loves coming up here to West Virginia and making an appearance at All-Star Wrestling, or, you know, being right across the aisle from Sergeant Slaughter and seeing the way that people loved him. Generations, you know, bringing G.I. Joe comic books or stuff from the WWF or the NWA from the Crockett territories. But Tracy, in addition to those legends, with so many wrestling companies right now, NWA, Major League Wrestling, Ring of Honor, AEW, WWE, whatever, I think it's lost on people just how many stars they'll see at WrestleCade that they just saw wrestle on Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Friday night or what have you. It's amazing, the Thunder Rosas and the Braun Strowmans and the Paul Whites, and it's amazing just that cross-section of active wrestlers. I mean, for instance, I saw the Bunny just down from us, you know, and she's talking in awe almost, you know, like a fan, talking to Sonny and Francine and Leilani Kai and Wendy Richter, and generations, and not just of fans, but also generations of professional wrestling superstars there, from guys going back to those eras that you and I were talking about, that you and I grew up on, all the way up to what's on television on, you know, every night of the week right now.
You know, one of the things,
well, you know, that's a good point, and it's a point that's not lost on me, but it's really hard to tell wrestling fans today that, you know, if you come and you see the stars of tomorrow, which is another term that's used way too much in wrestling or any industry really, right? But they really are the stars of tomorrow, because a great example is one of the fastest rising stars in pro wrestling right now is Darby Allin. Darby Allin wrestled at WrestleCade 4 years ago and slept in his car. He slept in his car, and he wasn't an invited guest, and he wasn't invited because we didn't know who he was, because he wanted that platform because he was hungry and he knew he could get in front of people, and that's what he loves to do. So he came to WrestleCade, slept in his car, and we gave him a match. But Darby Allin was there. Killer Cross was there. Luchasaurus wrestled at Showcase of Champions the year before the pandemic. Man, the years all run together now, right? Especially after since the pandemic. But the year before the pandemic, Luchasaurus, I had a long conversation with him, and he was thinking of giving up wrestling because he had been doing it for so long and had limited success. But now he's on television every week, and he's one of the top stars in AEW. So if people will pay attention and not just go to the meet and greet sessions, and I'm not trying to sell the live wrestling. I know there are lots of people that say, man, I like to meet the old timers, but I haven't watched wrestling since, you know, and it depends on their age, by the way, and you guys know this, right? Whether it's since the Attitude Era, or the Crocketts were around, or before that, depending on their age group. But if you ask, like, generational, like my son, who's 19 years old, who is probably a bigger wrestling fan than me, and I never thought that could happen, but he'll tell you his favorite time in wrestling, and his favorite guys are Rey Mysterio and Edge, and because he's 19, right? My favorite wrestler is Ric Flair because I'm 50. We all have those favorite wrestlers, and once upon a time, nobody knew who they were, and they were wrestling in a barn or an armory or a high school gym. And we give them the platform, the ones that are elite, we give them a platform at our smaller shows during WrestleCade weekend to perform for folks who can say in 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, oh my God, I think I saw that guy or that girl wrestle during WrestleCade weekend. And then they go look at the program or go online, and sure enough, there they are. It really is an amazing event. And it's really something that any wrestling fan that can be there during that weekend, they really should be there, even if they don't get the autographs. And we hear that a lot. Man, the autographs are expensive. And, you know, I put everything out there. Look, the autographs are as expensive as it's just like any other retail environment, right? If the superstar is popular, the autograph and the meet and greet is going to be more expensive. And that's just the way it works. But you don't have to do that to have an amazing time and an amazing experience during this weekend. I would say that you could buy the superstar pass, which gets you in all 3 days, and you bought nothing else except your food and a hotel room. You're going to get out for probably, what, $150, $175 bucks, and you'll have the time of your life. You'll see 3 or 4 live podcasts, a couple of panels, 4 or 5 live wrestling shows, and the big pay-per-view on Saturday night, and you'll never experience anything like that in your life, including, and I'll say this, with a little bravado, including WrestleMania week. And I go to WrestleMania week with my son, and it's amazing, but it's not the same experience. You can't get that close to those wrestlers and those superstars and interact with them the way you can during WrestleCade weekend.
Tracy,
I hope I didn't sell it too much, but that's the way I feel.
Well, Tracy, I'll tell you, I'm going to add to what you said, because my first WrestleCade experience was an experience that probably, if you just heard me say it plainly, you would think that I didn't have a good time at all. But my first WrestleCade experience, I show up and the convention is ending. I have no information, and I just show up on a whim. I just heard about it and was like, what? This is going on in Winston-Salem? I can get there. I went down there. I missed the convention, and I just got to hang out with the stars that were just coming out of the building. And I also got to go to the very last event. So I missed pretty much all of WrestleCade weekend, and I ranked that experience higher than my experience at WrestleMania 33. It was,
oh, wow.
It was so much fun, and I was on the outside looking in. I didn't even get to experience the whole big event, and it was so special to me as a wrestling fan that I was always like, I've got to go back to WrestleCade. And when I got the full experience last year for the first time, I was absolutely blown away. I was like a kid in a candy store. As a wrestling fan that stretches through a lot of different areas, and I went back and watched old stuff that I wasn't even born for, so I know a lot of wrestling. So when I'm there, every corner is a memory for me. Every time that I turn around, I'm like, oh, I'm 11 years old again, and this is the greatest moment ever. And that is what WrestleCade is. Anyone that hasn't experienced WrestleCade, you are doing yourself a disservice as a wrestling fan, because it is one of the most exciting events, and I'm a party planner. I've been to more events than a lot of people could even think of, and there is no event, in my opinion, that compares to WrestleCade.
And as Tracy said, it's scale. If you want to go to WrestleCade and you want to spend $150, that'll be the best $150 that you ever spent, because you get all of that stuff that Tracy just talked about. And I submit to you that as a wrestling fan, you can think that's about 3 or 4 pay-per-views a few years ago before there were streaming services and things like that. And what you'll get for that value is a whole heck of a lot more than the time that you would spend watching 3 or 4 pay-per-views, just because you're around your fellow wrestling fans. You're seeing live wrestling with great wrestlers doing it. And then buy the autographs or the photo ops or the whatever, or don't. We hope that you do, but you're still, you can buy things from vendors there who are selling things who don't necessarily have a superstar at their table. You want to spend $150, $175, do that. You want to spend $10,000, spend $10,000 and make a bunch of wrestlers and a bunch of vendors and Tracy and a bunch of us very happy. Spend $10,000 at WrestleCade. There's something in there between there for everyone that weekend. And I've been to a lot, like Tracy. I've been to Manias. I've been to other conventions in lots of different places. This is the best.
I spent under $50 when I went to WrestleCade and had a freaking blast. and that was the first year. You know, I mean, I spent a lot more the year that I this year.
And it's so great. It's in Winston, and the Marriott is right there, and the superstars are so accessible, and they're so nice, and it's so compact. You walk from the hotel a half a block and across the street, catty corner. And you're right there. It couldn't be a better setup, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. We've had some folks that have asked us to take it to Charlotte or to Raleigh just because the convention center is maybe bigger. And look, I'll give you the fact that the airports aren't that close to Winston-Salem. You can fly into Greensboro. It's only 25 minutes. That's not bad, but that's not the larger airport, as you guys know. Charlotte and Raleigh are both about 90 minutes away. However, like you said, you know, we've been to these events before, and you may be 10 to 12 minute Uber trip or rental car away from the convention center. But once you get there, it's still not very convenient. And the way the Marriott and the other host hotel this year, the Embassy, are situated, you don't even have to go outside. There's a tunnel underground that connects the properties, which is amazing. And it's really nice in November because it can get cold. And, you know, during FanFest or any of the events where the superstars and vendors are selling merchandise, you can go back and forth and put your merchandise down. If you want to go take an hour nap, because it is a long weekend, right? And other than that weekend, I don't stay up 2, 3, 4 in the morning, like, you know, anymore. But I see a lot of people that do. It's like going to Vegas, and, you know, that guy sitting in the hotel lobby, when I go to bed, he's still sitting there in the morning ready to go.
Right. That's a wrestling fan for you. That's what they do.
She's excited. And we have as many. I think one of the things that surprised me with WrestleCade is the balance of men and women, which is about equal, and the families that bring everyone, right? Their sons, their daughters, and that, you know, having a couple kids and one who is he's been in love with wrestling since before he could talk. I love seeing those families with their kids there. You know, that's one of the things it's about for me. And look, I got closer with my father through wrestling. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, and I'm being really nice there. He worked 3 jobs, and I didn't see him a lot. But when wrestling came to town, we went to wrestling. And I don't know how he got the money for the tickets, but he got the money for the tickets. And I've told the story before, you know, my first big memory of wrestling. And we used to go to the armory shows, the local armory shows and things like that. But my first real memory of wrestling was I begged to go to the first Starrcade. It was at the Greensboro Coliseum. And we're, you know, half hour away from Greensboro Coliseum. So I didn't think that was a big deal. You know, Dad got us tickets, and we were literally on the last row at the Greensboro Coliseum, and I could touch the back wall. and we couldn't see any. There are no screens. This is 1983, right?
Right.
There are no big screens. You couldn't see anything. And people have asked me, and I've thought about it a lot, how did I fall in love with, I mean, really passionately fall in love with wrestling at that moment because I couldn't see the matches? And I tell people, it's the same thing today. People rarely remember the matches. They remember the way it made them feel. Yes. And I remember the excitement, and I remember the way that it smelled, and I remember, you know, seeing people's faces, because that's all I could really see is the people around me see their faces. And when somebody won, it was like a tidal wave from the floor to the back, right? When the good guy won, because it started with the cheers at the bottom and we just start cheering at the top and we assumed that the good guy won. But I remember the way that made me feel, and I've been in love with it ever since. And when I see those families come into an event like this, or any event for that matter, wrestling related, that really warms my heart. I'm like, look, this is really what it's about for me, to do an event this size. And of course, to see, we're seeing the generational things where 50-year-olds like myself are bringing their 70-year-old dad, right? Or their their 85-90-year-old grandpa because they watch wrestling together. And my dad comes by and he doesn't stay. You know, he's got ADHD like most entrepreneurs do. but he comes by and he sees it. And I say, look, this is all your fault, Dad. You know, this is all your fault. So it's really exactly right.
Tracy, the one thing I remember from the first what's called house shows now, it was just Georgia Championship Wrestling coming through Logan, West Virginia on a random Wednesday night, you know, on their way to Columbus or whatever. I'll never forget the shrieks of those teenage girls when Wildfire Tommy Rich came out there to battle the masked superstar. And, you know, Tommy had that fake cast and all of that deal. And every time he hit Bill Eady over the head, we all cheered. You know, he was getting back at the bad guy who had broken his arm, but he was still tough enough, you know, to fight with the cast on. And it wasn't cheating because Superstar broken his arm and da-da-da-da-da. But the shrieks of the girls, my mother said, I would have never believed there were this many teenage girls in love with a pro wrestler. And there was me, and my mom had taken me and my four best friends, other, you know, three other 11-year-olds, and we're just standing there screaming, you know, like it's the greatest thing in the world. And it was a $7 ticket, and Dusty Rhodes and Kabuki were the main event.
And you'll never forget that feeling.
As long as I live, I'll never forget that feeling, because from right then on, I was hooked, and hooked through law school and got made fun of it, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, somebody with thinner skin would have cared what other people thought about them. But, you know, like you're a car salesman, I'm a trial lawyer. We don't care what people think about us because our hobbies. And one of my passions in life is the sport of professional wrestling. And it all started, you know, I'm so envious of you, by the way, that you were there for Starrcade in 83. You know, that's just the advantage of growing up in North Carolina versus growing up in West Virginia. But, man, it was great. And, Tracy, we just thank you for helping guys like us and families and pro wrestling fans tap into whatever it is that makes us love this crazy sport.
Well, you're welcome. And I want to thank you guys for being a part this year, a bigger part this year, because it's going to be bigger and more amazing. And we're committed to that every year. I told my partner, business partner in this, Brian Hawks, who I couldn't do this without, by the way, I have to give him any props that I can, whenever I can, because he typically deals with I deal with more the promotional aspect of it and the moving parts, and he deals with the wrestlers. and God knows he has the tougher end of the deal, right? Because that can be challenging at times, and God love them. But you know that I've got to know a lot of wrestlers over my lifetime, just like you guys. It's a different lifestyle, a lifestyle that most people don't understand, and a lifestyle that I absolutely could not lead. Under any circumstance, I don't think. You have to be wired for that and wired differently. But he handles that end of it. But we were just talking about it, and we said, look, when we get bored or we can't make it better, it's probably time to stop. If it starts repeating itself and it's on autopilot and we're not engaged and hungry to be, maybe bigger is not the right word, because we're about capacity, quite frankly. You know, we were about 8,000 fans over the weekend last year at that convention center. I'm not saying you can't get some more in the floating events like FanFest, because we can, but overall, the seated events, the live wrestling events, the panels, they were all packed. You guys were there. You saw it, right?
Yes.
But 8,000 fans, that's about it. But, you know, just doing different things and having different experiences for the fans that show up and the families. That's what we're about on an annual basis now. And that's why we're talking to you guys now about how we can, what we can bring this to the table. Like 3 years ago, for example, we had been downstairs in the convention center since year one. And they told me, or 4 years ago, they said, you have capped out the bottom level. And I knew what the price was if I took over the whole convention center. And I didn't like that price at all, just being a business person. And they told me that they look, your guests will have a better experience upstairs because your FanFest portion of the event has gotten so crowded that they can't enjoy it anymore. And this triple the space in that FanFest room upstairs. And they were absolutely right. So now we take over the entire convention center. Almost every room is used at some capacity during that weekend. And even some rooms in the Marriott now for different events, which is like we said, right across the road. It's, it really is unique. And we want fans to know that, especially last year, we had something to prove coming out of the pandemic, and it really crushed us to not be able to have the event, because we know it's become a tradition, and folks come in on Wednesday night and have Thanksgiving lunch at the hotels, and get ready for WrestleCade weekend. And that's something they couldn't experience. So we were really committed last year. So, and after last year's event was over, we looked at each other like, you know, how in the world are we going to top that? Because even on Friday, you know, our first event used to start at 7 on Friday night. And as you know, because you sponsored the event, Vicky Guerrero had her podcast there at 3 o'clock. And I don't get nervous, but, you know, as a business person, you weigh everything, right? Old Ben Franklin, draw the line down the middle and, okay, what's the pros and the cons? And that was the only slot we had for Vicky to do her live podcast at 3 o'clock on Friday. And we knew people came in, but we didn't know if they'd be eager to actually participate in an event. And the room's full.
Full.
I mean, it was standing room only at 3 o'clock on Friday. So that tells us that there's more to give. There's more out there we can present to the fans that come. And, you know, we're real fortunate that, you know, not last year, because once again, people aren't doing international travel that much, but, before the pandemic, we had folks coming from literally around the world. We have people come from Austria. And that's the furthest distance away. But when you talk to those people and they're crying, and, you know, we're really fortunate, right? Because not just because of WrestleCade, we have a lot of wrestling. And we have a lot of opportunities to meet our childhood heroes. Well, they don't travel overseas for a reason. It's super expensive. WWE doesn't go overseas, but, you know, once a year for obvious reasons. They don't get to meet these folks. But when someone flies here over Thanksgiving weekend to meet their heroes from their childhood from Austria, and this is their second or third language, right? And they cry when they see Jim Cornette. And I actually saw that happen. I've got a video of it. And you realize how fortunate we are and how we often take for granted the things that we get to experience, even though there's very few experiences like WrestleCade.
Well, Tracy, I was really glad not only to sponsor that, because I love Vicky. I love the guests that she had on, Brian Myers, Davey Richards, Mick Foley, obviously. But when I got that smile and that thumbs up from you on Friday afternoon, when you had a packed room, I knew that we'd done the right thing. And that was so awesome to see. I loved kicking off WrestleCade weekend on Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. I felt like we got off on the right foot last year. It set a really nice tone for the weekend, that I thought, and I loved getting that thumbs up from you and that kind of a, you know, we made the right call here, Nu.
that was absolutely, that's what that thumbs up meant. So I'm glad you read it as such, because it was concerning, but the ticket sale started and the people filed in and the line started. And I'm like, okay, here we go. This is it. Yep. And it was and look, we're putting pieces together in past years until the doors open at 7 o'clock. That was another concern, because now we have to do it earlier because the doors opened at 2 for Vicky or 2:30 for Vicky. And there still shows, I mean, there is no stopping point. Let's face it. When the door opens on Friday, it goes through Sunday night. And I think I finally got home Sunday night after around midnight ish. And the crew was still there breaking down audio, video, and all the other stuff. God bless them. I said, I sorry to leave you. The ship hasn't sunk yet, but the captain's leaving. I'm sorry. So, but they understood because I've been there since Wednesday.
All right. So Tracy, I know you're a busy guy. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on and that we are privileged to even get this time with you because time is money, but I would not be able to forgive myself if I didn't ask this question. You've created an absolute wrestling empire in North Carolina. You have created an event unlike any event in the country. There are plenty of conventions to go to. You can go to all types of different conventions, but nothing is more fan interactive than WrestleCade. You built all of this. What made you build it, and when did it start, and how did it start? I got to know how this thing came to be.
Yes, that's a great question. I'll give you the short version. So I've talked about my son, who's a wrestling fanatic, and my dad is one of the best entrepreneurs and teachers that I've ever known. And I'm fortunate to still have my dad with me. And he taught me so much about life and so much about business. And he started teaching me about business when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. It wasn't something when I got to be an adult, he said, okay, so now I'll teach you. He was always teaching. And that really rubbed off on me. So when my son is, and I'll give you an example, like baseball cards. I loved baseball cards and comic books when I was a kid, right? Like a lot of young boys do. Well, my dad taught me business through baseball cards and comic books. He taught me, okay, so if you pay this much for it, you need to sell it for X, and this is how much you'll keep. And you take that money, and then you'll buy another one, and that's the way business works. I think that's really the only way you can teach children business. It has to be something it has to be their language, right? Well, my son's language was pro wrestling, and I wanted to teach him business. And he asked me he said, Dad, why don't we have a wrestling show? And I got to think, I kind of laughed about it, but I got to thinking, and I said, you know what? We could probably do that. Let's make that happen. And so when I said, who would you like to see? And so he started naming off guys, and obviously not getting into all the logistics, but when he would mention guys in you know, signed the contracts, I would say you can't bring in folks, the guys or girls that are signed to contracts for obvious reasons. So he said, well, why don't we bring this guy? Okay. So this guy costs this much money, son. If the tickets are $25 a piece, how many tickets do we have to sell to pay for this guy? Easy math, right? And then I said, do you think he'll sell that many tickets? Yes or no? And I let him make a lot of those decisions, or at least let him think he's making those decisions. And honestly, that was going to be a one-day, one-off, no fan fest, hour-and-a-half, two-hour indie show. We've got a ton of great talent here in North Carolina. So no flights involved. And we opened the doors. We had to put it off 3 or 4 times, by the way, and keep pushing the date because we kept selling tickets and people found out about it. And we thought we might be lucky if we had 300 or 400 people there, and we ended up having like 1,200 people there year one. That's literally how it started. Something we noticed, and keep in mind, I didn't come from the world of pro wrestling. So, and I'll give Robert Gibson the credit for this, right? Robert was the first one there of the Rock and Roll Express. He said, where do we set up our gimmicks? I said, what is a gimmick? And he said, well, that's my shirts and my posters and the stuff I'm selling. I said, oh, okay, you're selling stuff. That's cool. Here, I'll get you a table. So we started pulling out tables. The other guys started showing up. They wanted to know where to put their gimmicks. Well, the show started late, which I hate, by the way, because people were so interested in meeting the wrestlers. So as I talked to Brian, and this seems real elementary now, but when you don't know, you don't know. And I said, those fans were just as interested in the meet and greet as they were the pro wrestling. And I've kind of always been the opposite. I like to watch the pro wrestling. Meet and greet's cool, but I like, if I'm going to meet somebody, I want it, you know, kind of away from a wrestling event or, you know, they're away from their natural habitat, so to speak. So the next year we added the fan fest, and year three, we added Friday night, and year four, we added Sunday. And now we're most of the day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And, we are, We are one of the largest we're the largest 3-day wrestling convention in the world. WrestleCon is larger than we are, is held during WrestleMania weekend once a year in WrestleMania City. And, you know, they're 2 days this year, but we're real fortunate to have that title right here in North Carolina. So, and look, this is where I'm from. So it's pretty awesome to be able to say, look, we bring that much income to our city on a weekend that's usually dead. The restaurants are usually empty or closed. The hotels are usually empty, right, on Thanksgiving weekend. And we pack it with 8,000 wrestling fans. And the businesses, it still amazes me, the businesses that have no idea that we're going to be there, and they're so short-staffed. And we tell them every year we're coming, 8,000 of us are coming, and I don't think they believe us. The only people that believe us is the hotel, and that's it, right? So, but we sell out the Marriott and the Embassy every year. And look, I would be, I've got to mention, you know, that from WrestleCade, we did this backwards. We didn't start small, and then a monthly promotion, and then go to a larger event. We started at the annual event, and 2 years later, we realized, look, the shows are awesome, but we can't tell the stories that we grew up with an annual event, right? Not with one-off matches. So we started AML Wrestling, and now it has three divisions and three shows a month. It has the Genesis division, the Future Stars division, and the main roster. The main roster is the touring brand, and we're going to high school gyms and rec centers and bringing in 750, 800 wrestling fans you know, every month to that brand. So, we're real fortunate that, I'm living the dream at 50 and been doing it since I was 40. My family business is the car dealership. My great grandfather opened the first Frank Meyer store 104 years ago this year, which is insane. So, you know, sometimes I think about, man, what if the wrestling brand, the WrestleCade wrestling brand is still going 104 years from now? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And I believe it could totally happen.
Oh, it could. It absolutely could. I just, you know, my son's got to jump in, just like my great grandfather and my great grandfather, my dad and myself. And now my son's working for the car dealership too. So it's, he's fifth generation. So that's, it's pretty crazy, man, to think about where we were, where we are, and they were already planning WrestleCade 2022. Hey, what if I announce a guest here on your show exclusive?
And I promise you. It's like you read my mind.
There you go.
It's like you read it. I mean, I know you're amazing, Tracy, but how did you get inside my skull? I was about to hold your feet to the fire.
And this is for the listeners, this is not planned. I know Reznor that well. He wasn't going to let Tracy off here.
I was about to hold his feet to the fire. He just offered it. So Tracy, yes, please.
You're right. It's not playing, but look, you've given me a lot of time on your platform, and I'm grateful here. So WWE Hall of Famer, multiple time World Heavyweight Champion Diamond Dallas Page will be at WrestleCade weekend this year.
Diamond Dallas Page, you heard it here first on the House of Kayfabe. He is going to be at WrestleCade. Tracy, I thought you were going to give me an announcement later. I didn't realize it was coming right now. I didn't realize you were going to do it
right now.
And we've got it.
Nowhere.
This is huge. This is
it. First time.
This is cutter out the middle of nowhere.
Out the middle of nowhere.
Mercy.
So now, just because I'm greedy, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire again and say, next time that you've got an announcement built up, could we count on you to come back to the House of Kayfabe with it?
Let's do it. I had so much fun. What if we make the exclusive announcements to you guys? Shoot, it doesn't matter to me. Let's do it.
That sounds like a plan, Tracy. I like your ideas. Your ideas are great. We're going to go with them.
You know, and that's part of the fun of WrestleCade as well. guys, follow Tracy. You want to tell us and tell the folks where they can find you and where they can find the WrestleCade information? Because part of the fun for me is to get on, as Cornette says, the Twitter machine and follow you and follow WrestleCade and see those announcements coming out. House of Kayfabe will love to be a part of that. But why don't you tell the listeners and the wrestling fans where they can find you and find WrestleCade?
Sure, I appreciate that. Look, my poison of choice for marketing and promotion, and we're on all the social media platforms, by the way, but if you want the announcements first, and I don't think I've ever actually said this, if you follow us, you probably know this, but I always start with our Facebook page. That's where it hits first. Then I'm going to go to Instagram, because that's a simple copy and paste, and then I'm going to go to Twitter. And look, there's only a 10 to 15 minute window between the three, but with wrestling fans wanting to know who these guests are, that's a long time.
That 15 minutes is everything.
Yes. So 15 minutes, man. So Facebook, WrestleCade on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. And it's all posted there. And of course, we've got a really nice website. Most of our guests, we really encourage our vendors to sell meet and greet tickets in advance. Some fans really like that. It saves time at the fan fest, whatever day they're signing. I still say fan fest, but the way WrestleCade is now, there are guests that appear Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, meaning they will wrestle and sign all 3 days, or sure, maybe just Saturday and Sunday, or somebody like Paul White, formerly known as Big Show, he's just there Saturday from 10 to 3. That information's on the website with the schedule. And you can order those tickets in advance. And look, some people like to go, like I probably would, and walk around and, you know, see if I can negotiate a little bit and, you know, see what strikes me that day.
Another thing I can speak to as well, Tracy, is for anybody, I know that a lot of your talent who's coming love to know how many of their meet and greets or photo ops or whatever that they've pre-sold, because that lets your talent plan for that, for instance. I mean, they know they're going to have X number of walk-up, but those pre-sold meet and greets or photo ops or combos or whatever they're doing, pre-sold like that, that helps your talent as well as it helps your customers there on the floor.
Oh, it really does, and I'll tell you where it really helps. So if you attend WrestleCade on an annual basis, or you're planning on attending more than once, right? It may not help this year, but it really does help keep those prices down if you buy them in advance. And that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but trust me, from somebody that does this a lot, if I have to guess at how many photos I have to buy, for example, for the talent to sign, if I buy 1,000. And I only sell 2, there's a lot of that going to waste. And that expense has to be figured into your cost some way, right? Mm-hmm. And it ends up being a loss, or you have to increase your prices the next year. So and a lot of fans don't care about that either way. So we're not asking you to really dig into the business model long term, but it really does help the vendors to know how to plan and what to bring with them. And look, I know this from experience, and I'm sure you do as well. If there's a star coming that you really, it's your all time favorite, and there's a special photograph that you want this talent to sign, they may not have that available, probably won't have it available, but you've had this poster on your wall for 30 years, right? You know, these are things those vendors and a vendor, and I'm assuming most of the folks listening to your show, you know the industry terms. Vendors bring the talent in, right? Meaning they pay the wrestlers to be there. So it's really nice to be able to message them and say, "Hey, I'm bringing this poster. How much is this going to cost? Because it's not in that list. You know, it's not on the meet and greet list."
Right.
You need to know how to plan your budget as well. And we have a lot of people that do that. I'll say that the 6 weeks leading up to WrestleCade, there's a lot of detailed planning that's left. But most of it is me, and I answer them all. That's all I do. I answer questions from fans wanting to know answers like that. Hey, I've got 5 programs from Jim Crockett Promotions, 1983, 1984, and 1985. And I'd like to bring them, and how much will it cost to get those autographed? And then I reach out to the vendor because sometimes it's hard to reach them direct. You know, we don't expect our fans to be the people that attend WrestleCade weekend to be professional convention attenders, even though some are right. We know that too.
All right, Tracy. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today and sharing this information, dropping that announcement. We've got a lot of announcements coming up. Tracy is going to be back with us in studio here with the House of Kayfabe to make some more announcements. We will also be talking about what panels are going to happen at WrestleCade this year, because that's my favorite part, is the Q&A panels that are going to be available, and we are going to make some announcements. Last year, we did the TNA panel, and the TNA panel will actually be released on the YouTube coming up very soon, so keep an eye out for that. And Tracy, man, just thank you so much for joining us, and we cannot wait to have you back so we can find out who else is coming to WrestleCade.
Over 125 guests, as always. Last year is more like 150. But we always say at least 125. So we've got a lot of guests to talk about over the next few months, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Man, I cannot wait.
Thank you.
All right, we will be right back here on the House of Kayfabe when we talk about, should professional wrestling be an Olympic sport? We'll be right back.
House of Kayfabe.
Hey there, everybody. This is Stephen P. New from the House of Kayfabe. And I just want to tell you that in addition to being a co-host on House of Kayfabe, I am, in fact, a lawyer licensed to practice law in the state of West Virginia and other states by special permission. My law office is at newtaylorlaw.com. We handle all types of personal injury matters, discrimination, wrongful death cases, and do certain cases outside of the state of West Virginia and the Commonwealth of Kentucky, just based upon selectivity and what that case may be. I have cases right now in probably 9 to 10 different states. We get admitted what's called pro hoc vice by special permission to practice in other states. So if you or a loved one have need of a lawyer, give us a shout at 304-250-6017 or at www.newtaylorlaw.com. Let us see if we can help you on the law firm side of the house. And also, for those of you who may not know, I am also co-owner of a sports agency that's called New Legacy Sports. And we just recently opened a professional wrestling wing of that. We have done great work on behalf of such superstars as Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, Shane Douglas, Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan, Joey Mercury, Kelly Klein, Sonny, the Rock and Roll Express, and the Heat Seekers, among others. That wing of our sports agency just keeps growing. And right now we have training for individuals who are trying to make it in the National Football League, Canadian Football League, or the XFL when The Rock gets it going. So if you need to get in touch with me, just give me a call at the office, 304-250-6017. Thank you guys so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the House of Kayfabe. And I cannot believe the bombshell that Tracy Myers just dropped on us, that Diamond Dallas Page is going to be at WrestleCade. You guys weren't even here for it. I just dropped
what?
It. Boom. DDP is coming to WrestleCade. Along with the Big Show. I mean, the Big Show had already been announced, but Diamond Dallas Page has not been announced, and it is happening here on the House of Kayfabe first. So we just had Tracy Myers, who also said he's going to come back and do a ton of other stuff with us and make a bunch of other announcements for WrestleCade. So we cannot wait for that. But we are here today because Matt Mullins has an idea. And I'm a huge wrestling fan, of course. Adam Harris is a huge wrestling fan. Derek Jones is a huge wrestling fan. But I think we can all be in agreement that wrestling could not necessarily be an Olympic sport. However, Matt Mullins seems to believe that it should. So I want to hear this argument. Tell me how professional wrestling could be an Olympic sport.
Well, my friends, I was watching some figure skating on the Winter Olympics. And as I'm watching the figure skating, I'm noticing all these similarities. I'm seeing some very intricate costuming. I'm seeing some great teamwork. I'm seeing music being such an important part. And then I start thinking, I think that we could argue that professional wrestling could be an Olympic sport. If you have synchronized swimming, if you have figure skating, if you have floor routines with all, you know, this music, and there's a panel of judges, I think that you could argue that there could be a country representative of, I was kind of thinking if you took, you know, as a team, I would do it as like, take, you know, AJ Styles and Ricochet as the American team. Okay. They have a match. They have a match against each other. There can be a winner and loser, but at the end there's four judges and they rate it on it, and it's a combined score.
Wow.
So it's a combined score. They, you know, everything is a part of that, just like how figure skating it would be graded. Yeah. And I think that you could argue that.
You know, what's interesting is I kind of had a theory kind of like this when someone would say, well, wrestling's not a competition. They know who's going to win. And I say, actually, if you look at it as in opponent versus opponent, maybe you're right. But that's not how wrestling is a sport, because in my opinion, wrestling is a sport because this match on the card is up against the next match on the card and up against the next match on the card to see who has the very best match. That's the competition, is who can throw the best match together. And that kind of goes right along with what you're saying. So you've almost sold me on this. Adam Harris, do you believe that professional wrestling could be an Olympic sport?
I see what Matt is saying, because, you know, we're talking about hugely athletic competition here. When you see those figure skaters going across the ice at like 40 miles per hour, and then dude lifts his partner up like this, and then they do some sort of a flip move like this, and then they land it, the crowd goes wild. And that is insane athletic competition. I mean, figure skating, they make it look easy, just like the best professional wrestlers. But if you know what you know, what we know, you know it's not easy at all. And there is no way just anybody can do it. I think it actually makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of similarities, especially when you talk about what Matt said about the music being so heavily involved, the partners working together to put on the best crafted match that they can. I would vote for this if I was on the Olympic committee.
Derek Jones, I know that you are going to have an interesting opinion on this, so I'm just going to kick it right to you. Can professional wrestling be an Olympic sport?
If you would have presented that question to me first, I probably would have told you no. It can't. I don't know. I was an amateur wrestler. So to me, collegiate style wrestling is Olympic wrestling. And then I bring in pro wrestling and I'm like, it's not. But to hear what you're talking about, I mean, do we not grade wrestling now against other, well, you talk about matches, but today what we look at day in and day out is ratings. They're already being rated show versus show, maybe not country versus country, but we're already putting a grading scale on what we're watching and letting them compete against one another in true form of competition. Now, the competition is to draw more fans. It's not just strictly athleticism versus points. But there is a true form of competition going on in the world of professional wrestling, so why not?
You know, it's crazy that we started this whole thing as saying that no, that we didn't think it could happen. Matt Mullins, you really missed your calling of being a lawyer. I believe even Pete knew if he was still here, he's already rolled out, but if he was still here, he would be very proud of you right now. I now believe professional wrestling could be a fucking Olympic sport.
Well, my girlfriend, who she was like, no, Matt, it can't be. But the more I talked it out to her, and I let her explain that, you know, well, I mean, you know, to the best, the team is against each other. You know, like the two best Japanese would be in the match against each other, but they're working together to sell and, you know, provide those moves to go against the American team in the other country. And she was like, that kind of makes sense. And I was like, that's what I'm saying. We can put this shit out there. I mean, if you know, I think that it there's a good argument that we could have,
you know,
professional wrestling in the Olympics.
You just gave a good argument and you convinced three people in a matter of seconds. And then you also convinced your girlfriend who didn't believe. You can turn non-believers, Matt. I'm absolutely blown away. But yes,
bravo, right. Bravo.
This type of competition is the competition that the people who always say all wrestling's not real don't understand. So it's not that we are children for still watching wrestling past 30 years old. That's not the case. Absolutely not. No, the case is some people are not smart enough to gather the whole realm of what the competition of professional wrestling is.
And I think that where we are in professional wrestling, like the days of kayfabe, you know, I mean, it's not the same as it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It's known that this is choreographed. But now that we do know that it's choreographed, why can't it be a sports competition in the Olympic?
Yeah. What's different about that in ice skating?
Right. I don't think there is anything. I mean,
ice skating is the best comparison because they have the flashy outfits to go with it. You know, while they're not getting judged on that. Listen, if they came out in like overalls or something, they would get deductions for that. And so the wrestler's gears would even, come into play.
Even the floor routine, gymnastic floor routine, like that's so involved in the music and the attitude that they put out.
Definitely.
In between the flips and the, I mean, it's tremendous. I'm not like downplaying that at all, but I'm just saying that I think that we could totally, because of the athleticism that exists in professional wrestling, you could put that in the Olympic Games and it would be, it would get all the ratings, I feel like, as
and
well.
It would get as much ratings as like a Michael Jordan Olympic basketball team. Really, it would have the same type of effect as the Dream Team had, and it would be amazing for professional wrestling.
I think so too. I think that it would be amazing. I was like, man, I'm watching that figure skating, and I'm like, why is it not? I just thought it took this long to come to me, but I think we could really argue this to anyone.
We could talk about a few of the barriers, though. I would say it would be hard because of the interpromotional nature of it. You know, would the WWE play along? Would they want AJ and Ricochet competing against, say, some people from New Japan? But it might also give them
in the Olympics.
Yeah.
They would want to.
Yeah, because they want supremacy, right? Right. And
I'm
like,
sure
what
if they didn't want to, Tony Khan would step right up and do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and I think that it gives you a chance to, as an independent wrestler that maybe is not signed to one of the big boy companies, this could give you a chance to do some kind of qualifying match that proves that, that you could get to that next level. I'm talking about a new fucking Cool Runnings movie, but you flip it, and it's not bobsledding, it's professional wrestling.
It could be just a movie about trying to get professional wrestling into the Olympics. That could be a movie all in itself. And I swear the movie can't take place without Vince Vaughn. I believe Vince Vaughn has to be in it. It seems like a type of movie he would be in.
David Arquette maybe too.
Yeah, David Arquette would definitely be there, but Vince Vaughn has to be like the coach.
I think definitely. We can argue it though. I think that it seems preposterous when you say that at first, like professional wrestling in the Olympics, but then the more you talk it out, you're like, why couldn't it be?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if like you said, if figure skating is an Olympic sport, then professional wrestling can be too.
Yeah. And I don't understand.
So, if you were in charge of recruitment for the professional wrestling team from the USA, what are the teams we're thinking about, or what are the pairings? What's the top three pairings that you would send overseas to represent professional wrestling in the Olympics?
I mean, you'd have to put AJ Styles up
AJ
there.
AJ Styles has to be there. Absolutely. Yeah.
Agreed.
I would put Ricochet in there.
I actually like that idea. I mean, the two of them at the top of their game, let them put on a match. Who's going to top that?
I would put Finn Balor, for – wherever Scotland.
Oh, but what if he gets recruited for Ireland?
Ireland.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is they should represent their own country. So Finn and Sheamus could put on a match together representing Ireland.
There we go.
So then the WWE could actually just take over all the countries. I mean, it could be WWE. Guys on every country.
WWE could say, though, that, like, look at our presence in, we're the Olympians of professional wrestling too. They can have that angle. I don't know, man. I think that would be awesome. I think there's no downside to me.
So who would we want to see if we wanted to see like a grappling match or something? Not necessarily a high flyer or an athletic competition, but like I'm trying to think, like I'd want to see maybe like a Nick Aldis in competition. Who would we want Nick Aldis to go against?
Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega would have to help Canada, right?
True.
Yeah.
Omega and Jericho.
Oh.
Alpha versus Omega 2 or 3 or whatever it would be.
Yeah, I love Jericho, but I'm not sure that he is in Olympic shape.
maybe this would push him over to get DDP yoga going.
So this is not only going to be awesome for us, but it's also going to inspire wrestlers to do better.
Right. That's true.
I like
what it. If they go overseas and get hurt, though? That would be a huge concern, too. Like, that would be another reason Vince wouldn't want to play along, I think, is if one of his guys gets hurt overseas.
I mean, you do this, you know, I don't know, man. It's every 4 years, right?
That's true.
They're also not doing anything any different than they are right now. It wouldn't be any different than them getting hurt during a UK tour.
True.
The publicity behind it, I just think that it's like right in the vein of what professional wrestling wants anyway. You want to be that NBC main event Saturday night, you know? Like,
so, and what kind of legitimacy would the Olympics lend to professional wrestling? I mean, just being a part of it would totally change a lot of people's view on professional wrestling. I'm sure there'd be a lot of shit in the beginning. People like, what is this? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do this. But then we'd just send Matt out and Matt would just explain it to him with figure skating. And then they'd be like, holy shit, pro wrestling should be in the Olympic.
But then you've got, you know, our advocate is Kurt Angle, who's like, look, guys, I won 4 gold medals with a broken
freaking neck.
And I agree that professional wrestling should be an Olympic sport.
And
you'd have figure skaters crossing over, I think.
That's interesting. And then if they would not listen to our argument, we just have Stephen P. New sue them.
Force them to put pro wrestling on the Olympic docket.
This Sunday, freeze your ass off match on the ice.
The great thing about Steve suing him is in 4 years, the Olympics will be hosted by the House Kayfabe.
Yes. Presented at WrestleCade by the House of Kayfabe.
We have totally brought a new idea into the world. We've spoke it into existence. Now we need the backing. Well, we'll have to reconvene at another time and get that worked out so that we can have professional wrestling at the Olympics to make Matt Mullins just the smartest guy in the world. I mean, why not, right?
Do it, man. I want another excuse to watch more wrestling.
The coolest thing that'll come out of all of it is there is no gold medal. It is actually a world championship belt that the winners will be able to carry to their respected show.
Love it.
So I will carry this title on AEW for 4 years, and then in 4 years, someone else will win it. I will carry this title on WWE for 4 years.
It's like the territory's on a bigger level. You get to carry that. I'm the Olympian. I'm the Olympian in whatever country I go.
All right, thank you so much for joining us this week on House of Kayfabe. You heard it here first that we are not only were we a part of WrestleCade last year, but next year we are a big part of WrestleCade. We've got big announcements coming leading up to WrestleCade, and we're a far, far, far distance away from WrestleCade right now. So we've got a lot to talk about in the next few months leading up, but today we announced that Diamond Dallas Page is going to be at WrestleCade, and so will the House of Kayfabe. And I guess I can count on all three of you to be there as well.
Totally.
You're in. Derek Jones?
Wouldn't miss it.
I'm already starting to work on it.
All right. Well, you make sure you request off for that one, because we have got to take over WrestleCade once again. Thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week right here on the House of Kayfabe. I take it to the edge, tell you it's in the breeze. I push it to the limit, I ain't ever gonna sleep. I'm ready for a fight, I'm living on the right, cause it's hard to see the light down the barrel of a gun. I take it like a drug, I try to kill the pain. Addicted to the damage, I ain't ever gonna change, cause what I want is all. Nightmare.
been a product of Superior Radio Network.
At the Law Office of Stephen New, we take a team approach to your case.
Our staff and paralegals are excellent and will assist you through every step of your case.
We employ world-class experts to make sure that your case is developed to its maximum value.
When you seek legal counsel, choose Stephen New and his team. They'll work together to achieve the best results for your case and support you every step of the way.
Our clients, why we do what we do at the Law Office of Stephen New.